Hello, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us at the College's 101 session. I'm joined here by two members of Colleges today to give you a really detailed look at the college system at Cambridge. So hopefully those of you who aren't familiar with the college system will find it really useful. And even those who are more familiar with the college system at Cambridge, you'll find it a useful update and reminder of how the college system works and some hopefully useful tips for supporting your students through the process of selecting a college as part of the application process. So all of the information in the presentation is correct as of the moment, but do please consult our study.cam.ac.uk website for the most up-to-date details. So thank you very much all for joining us, and thank you so much to Amber, Paige and Lucy, who are our speakers today. I will let them introduce themselves and I'll pass over to them now. So thank you very much and enjoy the session.
Hi, I'm Amber Page and I'm the Outreach Manager at Peterhouse.
And I'm Lucy and I'm the Schools Liaison and Outreach Officer at Newnham College.
Today we're going to cover, first of all, the basics of what a college is, and then move on to how colleges support students, and finally, how you can support your students to choose a college.
So starting off with the real basics, what actually is a college? What do they involve? So essentially a college is kind of a mini campus and they are scattered all around the city and they are bases for students. So they are really, the best way to think of it is they are where students are living, where their home is, as opposed to where they are studying for the majority of the time. They're pretty unique to Oxford and Cambridge, but they are more than just a halls of residence. So although, as I said, you would be living there, and there's so much more than that. And we're going to go into more detail about the particular things you can find in a college. These are fairly consistent, but there are some small differences between what each college has on site. But generally, as I said, accommodation and meal provision, whether that's for self-catering or for catered meals, plus academic and pastoral support. And again, we'll go into a bit more detail about that. The colleges also, very importantly, are responsible for undergraduate admissions. So when a student applies to Oxford or Cambridge, they will be applying to a college.
So as Lucy said, a college is where someone lives. It's kind of like their home. Most students will be guaranteed accommodation for the duration of their undergraduate degree. So if it's 3 years, then it will be the 3 years of their undergraduate degree. If there's an incorporated fourth year, then they will get accommodation for that year as well. And that is different to most universities in the UK. And most colleges have a range of rooms and prices, and so students can choose a room that's within their budget, maybe choose a room within a specific price band, so that's not something that they can't afford. In Cambridge, we have much shorter contracts for accommodation than you would have at the accommodation of another UK university, or if you were renting privately through a private landlord. So this is a really positive thing for students because it saves them lots of money. Rather than paying rent for the entire year, they pay for the 27 to 39 weeks of the year that they are actually there. And they don't need to pay rent in the holidays if they are not living there. Colleges also offer support because, it's often difficult when you've moved away from home for the first time. You're going to need lots of support there. So the colleges have porters. They sort of manage everything in the college in a way, but most of all, they are first aid trained, so they can help with that. The college nurse, who can help both with physical and mental health problems, and a chaplain and counsellors who can offer emotional guidance.
So the colleges do provide educational support for undergraduate students. So although most of the lessons will be taken outside of the college, so most of the teaching is in departments with students from all different colleges mixed together, each student will have a director of studies within their college who will primarily be helping them to manage their studies and arrange their supervisions. So supervisions are the very small group teaching that we have, which is pretty unique to Cambridge. At Oxford, they have them, but they call them tutorials. And directors of studies are a dedicated member of academic staff who will help the undergraduate students to manage that within a college. Each college also has its own library, which is amazing because we have departmental libraries and the university library and then college libraries. The college libraries are only open to members of that college for the vast majority of the time. So it means that there's normally enough space for everyone. You're not having to wait for a table or somewhere. They have most of the books that undergraduates will need for their courses, the majority of them, and librarians are super helpful. So if there is a book that there isn't available, then they will be able to try and find that. There will be different kinds of study spaces, and those vary a little bit from college to college, but there will be spaces for students to study outside of the library and outside of their rooms as well. So we do encourage people to sit, you know, elsewhere, maybe in a cafe, maybe there's some dedicated study rooms that can be booked out for group study. So there'll be a range of different places where students can do their work. And there will be computing facilities. So these do vary a little bit from college to college, computer rooms, but students will have internet access in their rooms as well.
So there are other sources of pastoral support in addition to things like the college nurse and the counsellors and the chaplain that I mentioned earlier. There is also a tutor. Now we know that this term can be a little bit confusing because often when we say tutor, we mean someone who teaches you in an academic kind of sense. And at Oxford, that is what that word means. But at Cambridge, it's a little bit different. So your tutor is usually someone who doesn't do your subject, and they are the main person in the college who you would go to with a particularly big problem, for instance, if you need extra financial support, or you're really struggling with like a major problem. Then the tutor is the person who you would go to. In addition to that, there is more peer support. That's both on an informal kind of level because you live together in the college and you can make friends and there's lots of opportunities to get to know people and support each other. And then also in a slightly more formalized sense, a lot of colleges have something that we call the college family system, which sounds a little bit funny. So when I was in first year, I had a college mum and a college dad who were second years. So they were kind of like my mentors. And then I myself became a college mum to someone else when I was in my second year. So I mentored some first years. So that's a really nice way to support each other and settle in. It means you've always got your peer support system of your college family they're ready to go to if you've got a problem. Colleges have students' unions, and there are lots of different positions in the student union committee, including an international students rep, who's someone who could particularly support international students. There are also JCR, this is what we call the college students union, we call it the JCR. Welfare officers, usually a male welfare officer and a female welfare officer, and both would accommodate for non-binary or other genders as well. So lots of support on offer in what is quite a small community.
So there's a little bit of a misconception, I think, generally that Oxford and Cambridge students don't have time to do anything except study, but that's definitely not true. There are loads of different things that students can get involved with through colleges, as well as outside of the colleges. But colleges are super central to student life because of the fact that that's where you're living. You will automatically meet people through college. So there are organised things which are put on by the JCR, as we mentioned, so especially when students first arrive. There will be a welcome week or a freshers week with lots of events that are put on by the other students. But that does continue throughout the rest of the year and throughout the rest of their time at the college as well. So there's a huge variety, and colleges deliberately put on a range of events, so there's something for everyone. So if people want to go to parties, those are available, but there are also things like film nights or food nights where people cook for each other. So there'll be a whole range of different things on offer, something for everyone. There are also societies within colleges as well as outside of colleges. So societies would cover a whole range of different hobbies. So generally within a college, those tend to be a little bit more informal. Potentially, if you wanted to do a sport just for fun rather than being too competitive, you might get involved with a college sport. There's a real range. Those do vary from college to college. So potentially, if a student was really interested in one particular society, they might look at some different colleges which ran that society. Again, it varies a little bit from college to college what sports facilities they have, but lots of colleges do have their own gyms. These tend to be quite small, and there is the University Sports Centre gym as well as these. And sometimes they have other facilities such as tennis courts, squash courts maybe, even a swimming pool in a couple of cases. So again, if those are particular facilities that students are looking for within the college, it's important to check those. Same with music and drama facilities. Lots of colleges offer music practice rooms, spaces for performance, but it does vary from college to college. And it is important to emphasise that the college community is still very strong, despite students not actually being there in person for a lot of the last year. So clubs and societies have moved a lot of their provision online and have been running all kinds of things. So, for example, I know the boat club at Newnham College, the rowing team, have been doing online socials and have been going running together virtually and keeping fit together. So that sense of community is still very strong.
So now we'll move on to choosing a college or supporting students to choose a college. So there are 29 undergraduate colleges across the university, colleges that take people in their first phase of study that haven't graduated yet. And these colleges are spread across the city, so some are very, very central and some are somewhat further away. We should mention that Cambridge is a really small city, so by far away, that's by Cambridge standards, which doesn't mean anything by anyone's standards. And each of them sort of might have like their own histories, their own identities. Based on that history, the architecture might look a little bit different, but the colleges are more similar than different in the basic package of accommodation and pastoral support and things that they offer. A really common misconception is that you need to go to a certain college for a certain subject. So some people might assume that there is a law college and a science college, and some people might just assume that some are better at certain subjects. That is not the case. Colleges take a range of people from lots of different subjects, and though you know, there might be some like reputations that certain colleges are better at certain subjects than others, they're not really true. And I think if we like invent and try to interview people who held those views, we'd find that those reputations aren't really consistent. So they're just myths, really. They're not really reliable. So it's really good to be in the college system where you do get to know lots of people from lots of different courses. I found it really helpful. I studied Anglo-Saxon, Norse and Celtic. So I was actually the only person in my college who studied that subject the entire 3 years of my degree. So everyone I knew in college was studying a different subject to me. I really liked that because you know, I was interested in my subject and I loved it, but it was good to have a little bit of a step back sometimes and think about other things and hear other people's perspectives. That was a really formative experience for me. So most of all, college choice is about personal preference. Where a student can see themselves living is the most important thing. So in terms of whether they want to be central or further away, whether they want to be in an old college or a new college, whether they want to be in a larger community or a smaller community, these are the kind of things they might consider.
So really important to emphasize that there's no right or wrong way broadly to choose a college. There are a couple of reasons that you might not want to be looking at particular colleges. So we've mentioned thinking that a college is better for a certain subject, or potentially thinking that has a particular reputation. It's also important not to try and pick colleges because students are trying to think tactically. So trying to think, oh, this one has more admissions for this subject or less applications for this subject. Because that is not true. And also those statistics change every single year. So students shouldn't be looking at that as a reason for applying to a particular college. We have the pool system, which makes sure that students are spread across colleges and you are no more likely to get into the university regardless of which college you apply to. So how can we help students to pick a college? This is definitely not the most important decision. The course decision is way more important. So students should really be spending their time concentrating on that and making sure that they've chosen the right course. But if you do want to provide some guidance for students, here are some good things for them to think about. So number one, age. There are three colleges which are for mature students only. So not all students will be eligible to apply for those. So that might automatically take a few colleges out of the running. And there are two colleges which are for female students only. So again, that might be something to factor in. Size is a big one. So there's a huge variety of different sizes of colleges from Peterhouse, which is very, very small, up to some of the very big colleges such as St John's and Trinity. So it's really personal preference. Some people would like to be part of a very large community and meet loads and loads and loads of people. Some people would like something a bit more close knit. So again, there's no right or wrong, but it might be something students want to have a look at. Appearance, this is real personal preference. Some people love medieval architecture. Some people like red brick. Some people like very, very modern architecture. Some don't mind at all. But if you have a very strong preference, it might be something to look at. And sometimes people just get a gut feeling, see some pictures and think this is really beautiful and this is where I would like to go. I've already mentioned facilities. Do bear in mind that the central facilities from the university are open to all students. So there will always be facilities for sports and performing arts and music, regardless of which college you attend. But if students have particularly strong feelings about what they would like from their college, they might factor that in. Also, they might have a think about what they are intending to do outside of their courses. So if they have an extracurricular hobby which takes place at a certain part of the city, they might want to think, how long is that travel time going to be? Something like that. So you may look at that, but it's definitely okay to just go from personal instinct. The Cambridge Virtual Tour is an amazing resource to have a real sense of what different colleges can offer. So I would highly encourage your students to have a look at that resource. Go along to some college events. There's lots of virtual events going along where you can meet some current students. It might just be pictures online. Some people just go onto the website and think, oh, this is the place for me. So it's absolutely fine for students to decide that way, but it really shouldn't be something that they spend days and weeks deciding. It's fine to make quite a quick decision on colleges.
So if people don't get a sort of very initial gut reaction to a certain college straight away and they want to weigh up different colleges and make a decision, then we'd recommend that they write a short list of 4 to 5 colleges that they quite like the look of and then find out more and narrow it down from there. So there are lots of resources they can use to help with this. The virtual tour is something so they can kind of look at pictures and see videos maybe from lots of different colleges and get a good idea of where they're laid out in the city. That's quite a useful thing in the virtual tour because it's a bit like an interactive map. And there's a how to choose a college video. There are a couple of them on YouTube, so students can watch those and think about what the advice that they give, which is pretty much what we've just said, but directed more at students than at advisors. They can look at the college websites. So there's lots of information on college websites, particularly if they want to know the finer details of things like how accommodation works and financial support. If they can't find any information on the college websites that they want to know, then they will find the contact email address for the admissions department, and they should email the undergraduate admissions department with a question if they have it and get that information there. And then we do hope that one day we'll be able to do in-person open days again, because they're lots of fun. But virtual open days are really good, particularly since they don't involve any travel. And so going along to webinars and activities, watching some presentations, having a look at the virtual tour is all part of that. Another thing that students might want to take into account, as well as contacting college admissions offices and getting some guidance there, is they might also want to speak to alumni from your school if you have any who might be able to offer insights or experiences of colleges. Of course, we should always bear in mind that, you know, that's only one person's view and it's not necessarily like universally representative, but it is certainly something that people might want to make use of to get a bit of insight.
So if students really, really can't decide, there is an option for that. We have thought about that. So you can make an open application. So if students have absolutely no preference at all, they can do this. One thing that we do always warn is if students have any preferences, so for example, that they would not like to be placed in a women's college, then they shouldn't do an open application because that takes the decision completely out of their hands. So they would be better off just picking a college that they quite like at that point. But if they're really not sure and they really don't mind, an open application is an option. So for students who make this application after the 15th of October deadline, a computer will randomly allocate open applicants to a college. So again, students are no more likely to get admitted to the university or less likely if they do an open application. And from that point onwards, they're treated like any other applicant. So all it is that a computer makes the decision instead of the student themselves. Important to note that mature applicants will be allocated to a mature college as part of that process. After that point, and this is true of everyone, college allocation can't be changed. So once you've applied to a college or once the open application process has assigned a student to a college, that is the college which will handle their application.
So some final tips. We've said this a few times, but really just to emphasise, students really shouldn't agonize over choosing a college. They don't need to like have multiple spreadsheets weighing up the pros and cons of each one. It's fine to just go on a gut feeling or weigh up four or five and narrow it down from there. It doesn't need to be a really huge decision because they are more similar than different. It's really important to emphasize that students who apply are never going to be asked to justify their college choice at any point in the admissions process. So they don't need to explain this in their personal statement or on their supplementary application questionnaire. And at interview, they should not expect to be asked why they want to apply to that college. It's not like a job interview where you might need to explain why you want to work for a specific company. It's really different. It's pretty much academic. Colleges don't really care why you want to apply to them. They care most of all why you want to study your course. So another thing that we know that students often really stress about is looking at past application statistics and trying to calculate the likelihood of them receiving an offer based on whether they apply to one college or another. As Lucy has explained, we've got the pool system. So please emphasize to students that they are not more likely to receive an offer by applying to one college over another or by making an open application. And also I think kind of connected to that is you know, if they do hear kinds of myths about certain colleges having certain reputations for taking a certain kind of student, I don't think they should really factor that into their decisions as well. Cambridge colleges are looking for the same thing in applicants, which is people who are academically able, flexible thinkers, good problem solvers, who really love their subjects and are ready to study it. So students are not confined to their college. Their college is where they live. It offers pastoral support and it will offer a community, but they can have lots of friends through their course. So they will get to know people from other colleges through their course. There are also university-wide extracurricular societies and university-wide sources of pastoral support, like the University Career Service or the University Counselling Service. So regardless of what college someone is at, they will go and attend the same lectures as everyone else, sit the same exams, be in the same seminars and practicals. It's not going to affect the quality of their education. Most students from most colleges will say that their college is the best. And that just kind of shows how pretty much everyone is happy at their college. And I think everyone's always going to have maybe something about their college that they wish was a little bit different, but on the whole, there's a lot that they'll be really happy with, and it will be their home and their community.
Thank you so much for watching. If you have any other questions, do contact admissions offices, whether that's at a department or at a particular college, and I'm sure they'll be more than happy to answer your questions by email. But have a lovely day. Thanks for watching.
Thanks. Bye.